Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spurs Day Thursday podcast. For all of those listening in the normal place, this is a peek behind the Patreon wall. Hello, Phil. Are you going to say hello to all of our new listeners today?
Yes, hello all new listeners today. How are you? Ready to listen to this bulletin thing that we do when we scratch around for things to say? It's worth it, I promise.
It's hard having a two-way conversation when it's a pre-recorded format, isn't it? But we'll give it a shot, you know. Yeah, that's a good start, isn't it? How have you been, mate?
Been all right. Spurs have, it's all gone a bit flat, I suppose, right? I think that there was a element of we were doing great at the start of the season, then we had all the kind of ruction after Chelsea and kind of getting back on our feet. Now we are sort of back on our feet a bit. Just feels like it's a bit of an anti-climax, I guess. I'm sort of thinking out loud here. But I guess that's kind of where I am at the moment. You know, going out of the FA Cup was a big, it was a big blow, to be honest. You know, certainly to me and what I was thinking, how we were going to end this season, maybe fancifully. But I think that's kind of where I am with it.
Yeah, I said it on the pod the other day, and I don't want it to feel, I don't want it to seem knee-jerk, I guess. Maybe feel, I don't know. Stop judging me. My point was it felt a bit like we dropped the ball. If we were going to do the could we maybe we can sneak up and do something, results like that, like drawing in the 95th minute or something like that when Everton struck back, you don't really do that type of stuff if you're going to go and win the league, go and sneak it, do you? You know, Leicester weren't doing that, they weren't dropping points in that way.
No, it's just sort of the uncertainty of it all as well, I think, during that game, right? I mean, that wasn't exactly encouraging. And, you know, this isn't to sort of critique the wider thing of what's going on at Spurs at the moment with Ange and kind of the new direction. I think it's very much just that there still has to be kind of room to us to talk about the game-by-game stuff, because I think as fans, you know, we're the ones who watch, we're the ones who spend time and money on it week to week. I think it's fair enough for us to have a bit of a down moment, right? Even though we can know in the back of our minds, well, things are still going in the right direction. I think we can still, there is room to kind of feel a bit aggrieved and just a bit fed up. That doesn't mean that you don't see the bigger picture, as I say, but it's I think that's kind of where I am.
It's almost a bit of a tantrumy reaction, isn't it? Because that's kind of how I feel. Because I completely feel what you're saying, and that's entirely how I feel. I know Spurs are onto a good thing. I like what we're doing. I like this philosophy that we have, buying all these sort of young players, Burwell and, you know, Udogie and Van de Ven and all these type of players, right? I can tell we're onto a good thing. I know that next season, hopefully, starting from the very beginning, will be decent. Will be good and we will make a good fist of it. It just feels a little bit this season like, oh, it was fun at the start of the year, wasn't it? And now it's all just a bit like inevitable again. But, you know, it is what it is. It's just an emotional game, isn't it? It's an emotional game.
Yeah, as I say, you're supposed to feel those emotions week to week. That's the point of it. There's a reason there's games every week. It's not like, you know, one game a year or anything. It's about a week to week thing. So there has to be, as I say, there has to be kind of room to kind of feel what's going on in the present, as it were, without kind of that sort of detracting from your overall positivity, I think.
Right. Well, our first big bullet point going into this weekend, which will hopefully bring the mood up a bit, is that Son Heung-min is back in action for Tottenham. Well, we don't know if he's going to be playing, but he's back at Spurs anyway. He's training. They're assessing him, all that type of thing. He looks very sad still that, you know, South Korea went out in the Asia Cup. I'm almost a bit more annoyed, I'm not going to lie. I'm almost a bit annoyed that South Korea got as far as they did and then, with all due respect, went out to Jordan.
Yeah.
If you're going to get that far, just win it now, you know? At least make it sort of worth everyone's while. But whatever, he's back for Spurs. And look, I apologise to any South Korean listeners. I'm sure you're very unhappy that, you know, you didn't win the Asia Cup and that Son is back at Spurs. But I'm a Spurs fan and I'm happy to have him back. And I would be saying this of any player who is playing for any international team ahead of Tottenham Hotspur. You know, that's my bottom line on this. It's good to have him back, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, and on one hand, obviously, that, you know, the player he is and what he brings to us, his goals and assists and his overall play is one thing. But I think certainly in the last two matches, there's been a chasm in our sort of leadership qualities as well. You know, you think about how the Brentford game went and how they rattled us and it all went a bit frayed. I don't really think that happens if Son's there. And he kind of gets overlooked as a bit of a leader, but I think that his absence has really shown that we've missed him. So, I imagine he's going to be shattered because, you know, as you say, South Korea stayed in it for so long, didn't actually end up winning it. And their last two games, I think, all went to sort of injury time or played sort of, you know, extra time. So it's kind of the worst case scenario for us in a way, isn't it? That he's back having not won it, but came sort of like, you know, has had to go through the ringer as well. So, I think he'll be involved against Brighton, no doubt, because I think he's due back today at Hotspur away. So I expect he'll be back in training. He'll probably even start, to be honest. You know what Ange is like. He kind of wants his players to sort of step up, and I imagine Sonny will as well. But definitely a positive that he's back. As you say, it's a shame for his personal achievements and that of his country, but from a Spurs fan's perspective, it's great.
There have been lots and lots and lots of quotes from Christian Romero flying out. He's really, he's been spitting bars, Antonio Conte. He said that he's happy at Tottenham. He concedes that he was unsettled last season under former manager Antonio Conte. But he's saying that now the club has brought in a competent manager and added the right players to the squads. We did lose Kane, the best striker in the world. But maybe he needs to win that trophy to put a debate to rest. He's gone though. We're focusing on ourselves as we want to keep improving. The win against Brentford was very important for us. Blah, 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 blah. It's good that he's happy, isn't it? How have you been with him this season, mate? You know, there's been some sort of up downs. He needs to control his temper a bit, but for the most part, he's had a couple of blips, but for the most part, since getting the vice captaincy, he's been a good, well-behaved young man, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. In one of those interviews or quotes, he was speaking to Sky in the one that I saw. So it seems like he's just been doing the rounds at the minute. But he was saying about he's kind of learned about his disciplinary and what to do and what sort of not to do. I can't say I've really noticed a change in his game, which is a good thing. You know, we were kind of worried about if you took that sort of side out of him, you know, his rash rush of blood to the head, that he'd be a lesser player. But, you know, there might be some stats to back it up, but it doesn't feel like that's been the case. It did strike me, though, and not to go off on a sort of a dodgy tangent here, but I can ask you because you're of Argentinian descent. What is it with Argentinians and sort of not learning English? Because I think this is, and I don't mean this in a sort of a Brexit way. I just mean it in it feels like quite a barrier to him that you can't sort of warm to him as a character too much because of the language barrier. You know, it seems like he speaks really well and he has a really sort of good insight. But it just reminds me of kind of Aguero, who was at City for, you know, ages, wasn't he? And it seemed like he just didn't bother as well. And it seems to me a very sort of Argentinian thing. What do you say to that, resident Argentinian?
I think in lots of South and Latin America in general, because it's, you know, it's basically just the inverse of the sort of Northern Hemisphere, which is mostly all English speaking, right?
Mm.
Vast swathes of that part of the world all speak Spanish, all have a shared cultural identity in many respects. Obviously, there are, you know, there are variations to that on that theme. But the culture, the films, the literature, the music and everything is all, you know, shared in a Spanish speaking foundation. So I think right in truth, they don't really see the need to speak English, much in the same way, really, that we don't feel the need to speak Spanish. You know, think about Gareth Bale going over to Madrid, Jude Bellingham, you know, he's not really sort of banging out the Spanish or anything like that. I honestly think it's just that, mate. I think it's different. I think it's rooted in a just a different cultural identity to our kind of English centric North American culture. I'm sure there's other reasons as well, but you know, more people speak Spanish, don't they? I think more people speak Spanish, or more countries speak Spanish than they do than speak
their first language. Yeah. So yeah, it's just a kind of an observation that say it feels like it's you know what I mean, you don't kind of quite get the kind of sense of what he's like because of that.
Yeah, I remember it was Sid Lowe, I know he who should not be named, Maurizio Pochettino, but I remember Sid Lowe, I'm pretty sure it was Sid Lowe, and I've said this so many times on this podcast, so whatever. I always remember him talking about the fact that it was such a shame that one of the things that Pochettino got like dug out for was having an interpreter, having very sort of broken English whenever he would speak. Because actually when he's speaking Spanish, he's a very good orator. He's a very sort of warm, very engaging guy. When he gives interviews in sort of Spanish speaking territories and stuff, he is seen as a very funny, open communicator. Whereas, you know, in England, he often comes across as speaking in these kind of, you know, cliched metaphors and sort of almost grumpy, paraphrased segments, right? And I guess that's you know, part of it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, but it just made me think, just in relation to him and what do we think of him. It does just kind of feel like there's that little bit of a barrier. But again, he hasn't really been. I mean, how long has he been here? It's probably two and a bit years, isn't it? 2 years.
It was, wasn't it? Was it 2020? No, it wasn't. Was it? Was it 2021? Is it Mourinho's first? Wait, when did we sign him? So this is the thing, man. Like, football since lockdown has all become a little bit of a blur, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that my kind of overall point is that he's a bit of an enigma to me still. And, you know, we kind of know what he's about. But, so, you know,
2021-2022 season, we signed him.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so like two and a bit years then. Yeah, it just feels like he's had a very sort of fractured time here, right? You know, and that's partly down to him, you know, getting sent off and being out of the team and sort of being injured as well. So I still think we're yet to see the best of him, or kind of see what he's really about, I guess is my point.
He says all the right things, doesn't he? He's always talking about doing things our way.
Yeah.
Whenever we have a bad result, he's always putting out those social media posts that are like, just believe in us. We know we're onto something good here. It feels like he's really drunk the Kool-Aid. And I think in a certain way, you know, he's won the World Cup. So I think that kind of desperate urgency to, I've got to fuck off to Madrid. I have to win the Champions League or something. I think all those lads that have won the World Cup are just like, I'm all right, really. I won a World Cup with
Messi. Done it.
I've sort of done, not completed football. I can kind of have a bit of a laugh here, and not have a laugh, but I think it means something to this core group to be the lads to win something for Tottenham, to win something for Bottleham and all that type of thing. And this brings us on nicely to this next point.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Johan, John Long, as I think we called him on a previous episode, Johan Lange, given an interview to the club. Very open, very candid, as candid as a sort of official club communique will be. Where he says that Spurs are currently writing the first paragraph of what should be a successful chapter for the club. Firstly and very importantly, we arrived into the January market completely aligned. The chairman, Daniel Levy, Ange, Scott Munn and myself, we always aim to be stronger after the window and use it to build a squad that is in alignment with the style of football and the methodology. This is not a one or two window job, but the club have taken some very important steps in the past 6 or 7 months. There's a great energy around the training ground, around the first team level, around the women's team and in the academy as well. We all believe we're writing the first paragraph in what hopefully will be a very successful chapter for the football club. I mean, it is exciting. I do think we are starting to see things before our very eyes. What I do like hearing is hearing this guy explicitly lump the women's team and the academy team in with this, in terms of this is a focus, this is an eye on success for the entire football club, right? And I think that's the way a proper big club thinks nowadays, isn't it? Like,
yeah, definitely. A collegiate approach to everything, to the footballing side and all the kind of different arms of that. It was a really good interview. As you say, it's on the official Spurs channel, so, you know, it's going to be sort of contained in a sense. But, everything he said sounded really good. And, again, it doesn't feel like we are doing anything that's particularly outlandish or reinventing the wheel. We're just doing the right things, and it does make you think. Well, why is it not, again, not to like put a negative spin on it, but it's like, well, why is it so suddenly seems so straightforward when in the past it seems so complicated? But again, I suppose that's down to personnel, right? And, you know, it felt like a bit of a pointed remark about we're all aligned and including the manager on that, which is, again, is, I know he wasn't actually here for the Conte era, but I think it is a bit of a dig at Conte, you know, wanting a certain type of player and us having different views and just showing you how troubling that can be. Really liked what he said about the youth football. Lucas Bergvold as well, spoke about him really well, sounded really good. Huge confidence in him at the moment and everything that they're doing.
It just makes sense, doesn't it? Because, I mean, this is, people will often throw to Manchester City. I know we've signed, I think, Scott Munn and maybe John Long as well. This was formerly part of the City football group. I'm not sure. I know Ange himself was. So you can tell that, obviously, Daniel Levy has probably based a lot of his strategy on what City are doing. And, you know, they are one of the most, yes, I know they have their money, but they are still a well-run club, to be fair to them, in terms of as a footballing operation, when you juxtapose them with, say, Paris Saint-Germain, for example. And I think there are examples of this throughout footballing history, aren't there? You look at Barcelona, you look at Ajax, these clubs where there is a core identity and a core philosophy that runs through, as you say, every element, every branch of the club in that collegiate fashion. And it does just make total... It does make you wonder why, and I'm sure it is easier said than done, but it does make you wonder why every single football club doesn't do that. You look at somebody like Manchester United. You can even look at Spurs in the past few years before this.
Mm.
But let's put Manchester United under the microscope in comparison to Manchester City. Manchester City, who, for the most part, okay, there's a Calvin Phillips here and there, but for the most part, every single one of their signings is a success. They even sign, you know, because Haaland is a bit of an outlier for them. They don't do the Mbappe thing. They don't do the superstar thing. They did that for a little bit at the very beginning with Robinho or whatever. But for the most part, they scout well and they sign these players and turn them into superstars. Or essentially, I don't know, it's kind of like an elevated type of money ball, I find, with Manchester City, because they're not spending peanuts on players. Their general kind of figure is around the 55, 60 million pound mark and generally slap these players on enormous wages straight away. But all of these players almost effortlessly fit in, right? Brought in somebody like Jack Grealish, who they've identified certain qualities with, and yes, Pep Guardiola has sort of broken down and rebuilt in a way, focusing on certain attributes that they obviously identified that Jack Grealish had, ironed certain bits out of his game, the fun bits of Jack Grealish that I think the neutrals all liked and whatever, you know, but he's gone on and been part of a treble winning team. So you would have to say objectively, he has been a successful acquisition for Manchester City in many ways. And this approach to it, when you see somebody like Manchester United, who are just like, okay, let's chuck money at somebody. Let's chuck money at Anthony because we've got this new manager in now who's worked with this lad before and says he's mustard. So let's just sign Anthony. And now we've got this lad who we just spent 89, 90 million on who just looks like a bang average winger. Looks, do you know what I mean? Like, what is he doing? What is he making Manchester United better? You know, even somebody like Bruno Fernandes is a fantastic player, right? But you slap him into Manchester United, he's the sort of the fulcrum of what they do. He's the creator. But it's not like they've built a clear identity around him. They went and signed like Christian Eriksen, who is a similar sort of player to Bruno Fernandes, right? A creator, a sort of advanced midfielder. To what? To play alongside him? In what sort of a system? In what sort of a style? What are they doing? Like, why are they signing players like this? And it just makes no sense. But given that we have now this an approach to football, an identity, like I say, that runs through the entire squad, you can feel somewhat more connected with what it is that we're doing. Because prior to this, prior to even this year, mate, we've done podcasts in the past couple of years, like when you've come on and stuff. And I think our common theme through it has been, what are we actually doing? What are we rooting for here at Spurs? What's going on? Because we pay all this money for tickets and we've got this massive stadium now, but I don't really feel like the club are building towards anything. Whereas now, basically now it feels like we actually are. Now it feels like the jibes, the Paddy Power type banter about Spurs and Spursy, it feels more strained now. It feels more like even sort of your neutrals are like, Spurs actually seem like a proper club now. If you weren't a Spurs fan, you would be looking at us from the outside thinking, annoyingly, I think in the next couple of years, they are probably going to do something. Like when Liverpool started turning around under the Jurgen Klopp. Different circumstances, but still, even from the outside, it was like, don't think we're going to get to laugh at Liverpool for not having won the league for 30 years anymore. It feels like they're going to do it soon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it is strange. I mean, and I think the point that with us is that, you know, you're right. And I don't think it was even that long ago. It might have even been pre-season when we were having these questions about what the hell are we doing? And it has been quite sudden how it's all fallen into place. And I think that points to the fact that it's just quite, it isn't actually rocket science. You just kind of get a good scouting network in. You get a good idea of what the sort of football you want to play and how. And you attract players or you approach players who fit into that. It's quite, you know, say Man United are an absolute basket case and they should be doing what City have been doing. You know, we talk about City and their billions of pounds. And, you know, not to go over completely what you were just saying, but they've kind of done all that. They've done all that kind of 115 charges of it. And that's why they're all sort of in the past, which is why it's taken so long for the league to kind of get to grips with it. But now they just operate as a sort of a well-run football club. And again, that, if you compare that to Man United, that's what Man United should be doing. But yeah, but with us, and I think it's easier to be sort of more engaged with the club, isn't it? And to as much as it's and you know, this is kind of the other side of the point I was making before about it. It's okay to be annoyed when we lose or when we lose a last minute goal. You can't always turn around and say that it's you know, or we're a project. It's fine. We're going to have results like this. It's okay to be annoyed. But it does help that suddenly we're like, yeah, but we do know that things are all starting to fall into place for us. And you're right about, you know, the comparison to Liverpool. If I was a neutral, you know, I'd be able to look at Spurs and be like, it does feel like they're getting close to something. You know, it does feel like they're a couple of steps away from actually clicking properly into gear and being a problem. So again, that's a massive positive. And good on us for actually finally figuring it out.
I mean, we better fucking do it soon, mate, because like we were saying the other day, in a blink of an eye, you and I are going to be 50 years old going on about, yeah, oh please Tottenham, please win. It's just not, it's so
it's unbecoming of us, is it?
Justin,
I mean, you could argue that's probably the case now as well, mate. But
no, it's not. I'm a man child. We're allowed to do this, right? Yeah. As millennials. Yeah. We grew up in the age of video games and all that type of stuff. So
I say I'm grown up. I'm just looking at Sonic the Hedgehog Lego keyring I bought the other day. So still life in the old dog yet, or young dog, as it were. Anyway,
well, if you have enjoyed the podcast, you can sign up to listen to this more regularly at patreon.com/RTRpod. Do you want to say goodbye to everybody, Phil?
Goodbye to everybody. Come on, you Spurs for Saturday. Robert De Zerbi, or Roberto De Zerbi, he's not on the touchline, is he? So at least we don't have to kind of deal with all those histrionics. Things are looking up.
With his new metal hairstyle. You know
what I mean? Down with a sickness.
Can we have some tactics, boss?
Excellent.
Cut my life into pieces.
I was trying to think of that. That was on the tip of my tongue. State of him.
Up the Spurs.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.